Jay, come up, give us the word, and man, we're hungry for it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, guys, they've already got my clock going up there. I lost 3 minutes. I'm going to have to pick it up somewhere. What a great honor to be here, of course, to Pastor Sean and pastoral staff. I couldn't be more honored and privileged. Once again, we were talking today. This is a 14th year that I've been traveling and with you. So this is amazing to me. Some of the young kids now are older and they're gone and they've grown up with different things, so it's beautiful. The guys still look as handsome as ever. Yeah. Some of them are getting closer to look like me than other times before, but it's all good. Tonight I want to take us to a story that you know. It'll be historically the worst time in the history of mankind, but one man will be willing to believe his God and build something that only God could dream in the earth, and what he builds will change the world forever. I believe God is doing something in our hearts so fresh at this time period, building something in our lives, not just mine or the man next to you, in all of our lives, that is going to bring such change to not just our own lives, our own families, but our cities, our nation, and the entire world. I believe that. So I want to take us there. You'll know the story. I just want to read a few verses out of the New Testament, Old Testament, and just take us to the story and just for you to live it out with me, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. The guys graciously are helping me up there. Stephen is so wonderful. All you have to do is email him stuff and he'll just take care of it for you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It's nice to hear the pages. I don't hear that too often anymore. I hear this. So here it is. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Genesis chapter 6, all the way to the other side of our amazing Bible. Boy, if there was ever a relevancy for this book, guys, it's now. In a positive way, in a great way. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Yeah. We'll pick up Noah at 500 years old. I don't know if he's getting Social Security yet, but that's something. It'll be 100 years in the time that we meet him until he completes the ark. It'll be a great moment for us to view. Verse 11 of Genesis chapter 6. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, here is the ark that he'll build. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. By the way, Home Depot doesn't have it. I've asked already. It shall be fashioned this way. You shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits. And the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark. In a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, third stories, which thou shalt make it. And behold, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just the historical record. It's amazing to me. Only you can take a moment in history and make it a present truth. Only you could do such a thing. Tonight, Lord, do something in our lives, no matter where we are, no matter what's happening. We're living in a world that is appearing to become more violent in so many ways. But you've known this for centuries. What to do in a violent world? What is the answer to a violent world? Father, thank you that you're so passionate about where we are, that you love this world and you love this people known as the body of Christ, the church of the living God. You've placed her in the world to make a difference. Father, what an honor for us. So tonight I'm asking for all of my brothers. These are my brothers, my friends. Do something in our lives that We see you in a way we've never seen you. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the work of the kingdom of God, is freshly ours tonight. That we bring hope to our families. We carry hope to our neighbors. We carry hope to our families. We carry hope to our jobs. We carry hope everywhere we go. The hope that is in God and what you're doing. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. What a moment. The entire earth is filled with violence. Every man has done evil in his heart continually. I couldn't imagine such a world. There's a man there, one man amongst this entire world. His name is Noah. He will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to begin immediately tonight by saying this. Every man in this room has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Every one of us who believe. And so there's something that God is doing and was going to do with men who find grace in his sight. Boy, he's looked for those men, and he has them tonight. So I want to begin in this moment in the Hebrew letter, and I don't have to give you a lot of history about the flood or about that particular day, but I want to begin by looking at Noah from the New Testament perspective. That's how we understand our old covenant, is from a New Testament perspective. So the writer of the Hebrews is beginning to tell us something. It says simply this, by faith, Noah. I just want to encourage us tonight that faith is a very simple thing. You know why? He's given it to us. It just simply is, do what you know. Be who you are. It's that easy. He's not asking you to believe where I am or me to believe where Pastor Sean is. We have faith. He has given it to us. It's growing in us. But it's that simple. Just be who you are. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Nike didn't get it. That was the heavenly thing from the beginning. Listen, just do it. It's that easy. By faith, Noah, and I love the King James translation because I love that old language. It always wants to put this upon God, and he doesn't really have that, you know. Listen to this. Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen. Here's what it is translated. By faith, Noah, being divinely taught by God of things that have not yet appeared. And I want to say a couple of things all weekend this weekend, beginning with us tonight. There are things he is intending to do in our world that is incredible, unbelievable, unprecedented, and he's already beginning to let us know without you realizing it. And I love that you're here. What an honor for me to teach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, as with him and others in this room. This eldership, amazing. But God isn't only revealing himself to just one or two people. He is making his church aware, and he's divinely teaching us that there is an anticipation in every one of us, in our hearts, that genuine of God, that he's about to do something that will change the world's history, change the world forever. Divinely taught of things that have not yet appeared. In Noah's life, it's going to be the ark. Second thing, the writer says, that he moved with fear. Man, I'll tell you, it's one of those words that's in our Bible that automatically, especially with me, is kind of that that's how I thought when I first came into this kingdom. My dad was a very strong guy. It seemed like my whole life was about him correcting me. And when they said to me, you're going to have a new father, I thought to myself inside, I said, I didn't really like the first one. I'm not really interested in another one. And so I thought this God was there to make me afraid of him. And that one day he wanted to squash me and he was only going to take so much. I began to understand it's nothing like him. That's man. This God so loves, is so passionate, so compassionate. Here's what the word means. That Noah, he was stood in awe of what God was declaring. That's what the idea of fear or moving with fear in the New Testament. It's in awe of God. So when I say and I understand when the Lord says, listen, I need to fear him. What I need to do is, and I am right now, I stand in awe of everything he's ever said and ever will say. That's the idea. So here is Noah getting the first thing that God will reveal from the heavens. He'll do it four times at least up and through our history. But it's the beginning of a revelation or something hidden in God that he is revealing to a man. And the man is about to build it in the earth. And what he builds will change the earth forever. He's in awe of it. This 500-year-old man. The third thing that the Hebrew writer says is he prepares. What a word. It is a word that would describe a builder. Now, there's not a man that hasn't built something, I'm sure. That's just how we are. And so I worked for a builder for a long time. I wasn't into building houses in New England in the wintertime, not very much. But what it means is a builder who gathers the things necessary to build what he's building. That's the idea of the word prepared. I didn't have any idea. So I'm a little over 40 years now, born again. I was 62. I'm going to be 63. There's men in here been born again longer than that. When I first came to church, I didn't really understand. I thought, so my wife dragged me there, first of all. I sat in the back as far back as I could. And she started to say, you know, you need to get a Bible. And I thought, what do I need a Bible for? And then she said, there's a midweek service. You need to go to that. And I thought, I'm going to go to church twice a week. Then she said there was a prayer meeting on Friday, and I thought, Friday is our party night. We go out Friday. I don't do prayer. That's the last thing. And I was saved, but I didn't understand. See, I didn't get it, that the fasting and the prayer and the reading of my Bible and even spending time with him and listening to worship music and being in small groups and being in home groups, I didn't realize that all of it was me gathering the necessary tools, the necessary elements to build what God was building. So, man, I haven't missed a day. When I started to realize that, I love midweek service. And it's funny because the times I didn't want to go were some of the greatest times. I can't get enough now. I'm in church probably 250 days a year, maybe 270. It's true, I do 99% of the talking, and so I guess people are in church because I'm there. But I love church. I don't want to miss what I'm saying. Especially in prophecy, I'm hearing things about people's lives in prophecy, and I'm going, whoa, hey, I like this. What about me as I'm talking? I'm saying, you, I can't believe you feel like this. Oh, yeah, it's just beautiful. But I just didn't realize the necessity. I love working out. I think I need to eat. I think there's things I need to do physically, but I never realized that there was spiritual elements in what God was building. Now, I want us to see the ark tonight. That's really why I've come. Because for him, it was a physical thing God was building for you and I, spiritual. Right now, he's building this thing. Now, but I want to say this before I go to these four or five elements of the ark that I want you to see tonight. The ark did two things, though. It brought salvation to Noah's family. Please, my brothers, I want you to know right now, God is bringing salvation to our families in an unprecedented way. He is causing salvation and circle the earth in ways we never knew. He is doing something in our earth that is transcending everything. I'll talk maybe a little bit more about that Sunday night. But there was ever a day for us to believe for our families, it's now. If there's ever a day for us to believe for our cities, it's now. If there's ever a day for us to believe for our universities, it's now. The ark, the thing God's building, will bring salvation to our families. I love the word that the King James uses, because we like this condemn word. You know, we love this. I look at my neighbors and I got to condemn them. You know, I used to get that real look. That holy look. You're drinkers. You're drunkards. Some of them are professional. You're a professional. And the Lord was like, what are you doing? And I had to understand, here's what the word condemn means. What Noah built caused the world to see that the way they were living was not right. And isn't it incredible? Peter in the second epistle will say that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. If you read the story, Noah doesn't speak for 100 years. So it wasn't his words that spoke, it was what God was building that spoke. So I believe the Lord's building something in us right now, my brothers, that's going to speak to our children, speak to our grandchildren, speak to our nephews, speak to our nieces. I realized with our teenagers, I was with them last night, what an honor for me, that the truth of our teenagers, they love what I said, they love the prophetic word, they've always have, but what they do is they watch Jay LaRue. Is this an act? Is this just a story? Does he really believe it? Is he this way on Monday morning? Well, I say to them, come on, be around me on Monday morning, you're going to get the same guy. All right, here it is. You good? You with me? The ark was 300 cubits long. Now here's its two numbers. The number 3 and the number 100. The number 3 is this sovereignty of God. It basically is this, because only God can do this. Like, yo, if I say it, it is. You know, he doesn't wake up, he doesn't go into bed, he's not going to bed tonight and hitting Jesus a little bit on his right hand and saying, now, you sure the sun's going to rise tomorrow? Have we paid the bill? Is everything I said yesterday going to be here tomorrow? From the day he said it, he was assured it would be. No man's changing it. No government's changing it. No demonic thing's changing it. No one's changing it. It's the sovereignty of God. It's whatever he says, it is. But the number 100, of course, is the number for promise. You got to know with Abraham, that's why it's so beautiful. Abraham was 100 years old when he had Isaac. That's where the number begins. It is that part of the promise of God that's just not possible. I'm dead. She's dead. There's no hope. It's hopeless. That's the number 100. So what you have here is the 3 and 100 is 300. What you have here is there's something that's building in you and I. If God says it, it'll be. If God made the promise, it'll come to pass. Yeah, but I don't feel good. Doesn't matter. It doesn't look right. Doesn't matter. If he said it, it will be. There's something he's building in us that I'm assured if God said it, it'll happen no matter what I see, no matter what's going on with my son and my daughter, what's going on with my grandchildren, what's going on with me. He said he would restore our lives. He would build us. He said he would fill the earth no longer with water, with glory. If he said it, he will do it. But there's only God can give us that confidence. It's not an arrogance. Oh, no, no. There's this confidence. Paul talked about it. What is it, Jay? I'll tell you what it is. Is what he began? Yo, he will see it to the end. What about you, Jay? It's not about me. What about us? It's not about us. It's about him. So he's building it in us. I see it in our young people. I very seldom share this with men, probably twice in all these years that I've ever done it, but I've been sharing this with teenagers forever. I want them to know that God's building this no matter how they feel, no matter what they think. Every one of us has insecurities. Every one of us looks and wonders why we're not him, why we're not her, especially teenagers. I've been assuring them, God's building this within you. You could be assured if he made the promise, he will keep it, no matter how or what's going on in our lives. All right, the second number is this incredible number 50. The inside of it, you had to get in the ark to know it was 50 cubits wide. The number 50 for the Hebrew thinker, the Hebrew mind is an incredible number. It was the debt-free year, the 50th year. I mean, not just debt-free, I mean debt-free. Not no interest, debt-free. If you lost your house, your home, and your kids to slavery in the 49th year, the 50th year it was given back to you. You didn't pay a thing. Even though you didn't deserve it, it shouldn't be given to you. But that was the thing. God was bringing freedom and liberty to his people. He was returning everything they lost. See, guys, I want you to know he's building this 50 in me because he's causing us to be free. You know it takes freedom to love him. It takes freedom to worship. It takes freedom to forgive. It takes freedom to serve. It takes freedom to be a brother. It takes freedom to be armor bearer. It takes freedom to be one who gives his life. He's causing us to be free. I'm not free to do my own thing, but I'll tell you, it's amazing to me. I got to tell you, the freer I get, the more I'm his. It's amazing. I used to hold on to things and struggle with things. I make mistakes. I have failures. I trip up. I mean, that's just how my life is. I'm human. I run into people I don't like. I actually, you know, I don't like guys with really long, wavy hair at all. There was a guy in the gym today, and he had this black hair tied up. Him and his friend, it was just bound to his hair. And I was just looking at him. It wasn't the workout that made me look like this. Look at that shirt. Yeah, then the Lord was going, excuse me. I said, forgive me. I like my hair the way it is. Absent. Now, I don't struggle over men's hair. I'm just teasing a little bit. But I want you to know, though, that he's building this 50 in us. And isn't it amazing? You have to be inside to know it. This world out there has no freedom at all. The guys in the world, they're caught. They're struggling. They're in yokes and chains and bonds. And here God is making us free. Oh, my gosh. The liberty that is in Jesus Christ is incredible. It's funny. The freer I get, the more indebted I am to the people I meet. I want to touch that man. I want to say hi to that brother. In the gym today, it was the same way. Dude, looking good, hitting him. I want to touch people. You're no different. It's happening. The next number, it was 30 cubits high, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. This is an amazing number. If there's probably anything I ever struggled with, and you may be like me, is making sure that I'm able to be who I'm to be. And so I didn't trust my father or teachers. I didn't trust law. I didn't trust anybody who said that they were over me. I had struggled with it. It was just my deal. Because I wanted to make sure that I could. Little did I realize, though, that attitude was only getting me in trouble and more trouble. Here's the 30. I just want to go through a couple people real quick. Joseph is 17 years old, and he gets these two dreams. I mean, they're incredible. He tells his brothers, they throw him in a pit. They sell him into prison. He's going to be a slave until he's 30. At 30 years old, he's in prison, an Egyptian prison, the worst prison in the world. He's in a dungeon. Nothing's gone right. He's been righteous. How could God ever bring him out and fulfill his promise, fulfill the dream, fulfill the vision when he's in prison? How can it be? I want you to know, at 30 years old, miraculously, he was taken out of prison and made number two in Egypt. From prison, God worked out his will. David is running around for 15 years. Saul's chasing him, and Saul can't stand him. He's throwing spears at him. He's trying to kill him. David is hiding in the cave of Adullam. He's got every guy who's in debt, in trouble, joining him. I mean, it's a raggedy bunch, and the whole time Saul's trying to kill him. At 30 years old, Saul is killed, and David is named king. The best one, of course, is Jesus Christ. We see him the last time at 12. We don't see him for 18 years. Where did he go? I thought the Son of God. I thought the Messiah. You know, did he take away the sins of the world? John the Baptist. Well, you know, he's dead, but didn't he say that? Where has he been? And all of a sudden, at 30 years old, he shows up. What does the 30 do? It releases me and you. Don't worry, God will see everything come to pass in our lives. God will make sure that everything we're to be, we will be. I don't have to worry tomorrow. Am I in the right places? Is this the will of God? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Oh, no, no, no. He's building inside of us. There's an assurance. I could say to my kids, I could say to the kids last night, don't worry about what's going on in our world. Don't fear the devil. Don't fear anything. Let God be the all in all. Last night was about Jonathan, a 19-year-old that went against an army that you couldn't number even with an iPhone, with one sword. How is this possible? And the Lord shook the earth because a young man said, yo, let's go. He's building it in us, the 300, the 50, the 30. When you got inside the ark, the next thing was there was one window in the ark. A lot of interpreters, it doesn't matter. It was one cubit square. The number one, unfortunately, Three Dog Night had it wrong, is not the loneliest number. You have to be a little wrong for that. The number one is the number for the Trinity. The number one. It's the Trinity. It represents Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he put it in the ark. So Noah, if he wanted to know what was going on, he couldn't look this way or this way or this way or this way or this way. No, if he wanted to know what was going on, he had to look up. And when he looked up, he saw that one square window, one cubit. I want you to know our Bible is full of look unto Jesus. He began it. He'll finish it. Consider him. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. God is building this thing. Our hope isn't in the economy. God's got that taken care of. Our hope is in government. He'll take care of that. Our hope is in him. And when we need to know, just look up. Even when he lets the raven go and he lets the dove go, it has to go out this way. I'm almost done. The ark had three levels. One, two, three. There's a lot that can be said about this, but I love this. There's really three dimensions of this realm that we're in. The first one is this here. It's our life. No matter what picture they take of it, this visible world is one dimension. Then there's a second dimension where the angelic and the demonic have all their activity. Then there's this third dimension that we know is the dwelling of God. His throne is there. Jesus said it beautifully. He goes, he ascended through the heavens, the Hebrew writer, and he sat down at the right hand. He will say to his disciples, chill out, dudes. I've overcome. This, the door was set in the side, one door, and it says that it came up against these three. I want you to know, Jesus Christ himself said, I am the door to the sheepfold, but he's also the door to the heavenly realm. There's a door open. We have access to him, incredible. I want you to know this right now. God, in this very moment, by his power and the power of his spirit, is causing you to overcome in this life. It doesn't mean I fight and everything I touch, I war. That's not overcoming. But this world had no effect on him. Even when they took him out, they looked back and thought, that was a bad mistake. We never should have crucified the Lord of glory. That was a mistake. He overcame. He said, listen, let your heart not be troubled. I have overcome. But he overcame this realm. I'm not afraid of this earth. I'm not afraid of us living in this earth. Oh, I'm aware of things. I'm not a fool. But I'm not afraid of what's going on here. By no means. Because he overcame in this life. So are we. Not will we. We are overcoming. I'm not afraid of the demonic realm. at all. He overcame that. He shot through there, and he took everything they ever had. We do not have to be afraid of him. We'll stand, we'll resist him, and we'll cast him out. He is not a problem. But he ascended to that third realm where we can behold our God and behold his face. And in seeing him, we're transformed to that very same image. I want you to know tonight, my brothers, that the Lord is building this ark. The ark brought a flood. He said to Noah, I'll never flood the earth again. But he said to Moses, as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be flooded, filled with my glory. What a moment for us. I don't see Bible reading the same anymore. I don't see a fasting the same anymore. I can't believe that our God could take my simple looking into the scriptures or my simple a few moments with him or I hit my knees for 5 minutes or on the way to work, I just do a little worship. I can't believe that he could take those things that one time seemed to be so unnecessary to me and build something in me that would change the world. I want you to know he's not just building it in me. He's building it in us. Stand with me for a moment. Stand with me just for a moment. Then I'm going to have you sit down, and I'm going to take a couple more minutes, okay? The earth would never be the same again, you know that. The Lord would build a covenant with Noah, and he would begin to build and replenish the earth. Man, it's time to replenish the earth. It's time to see the believers become who they're to be. It's time to see the earth be affected by the kingdom of God. He loves that world out there. He loves them. He loves them. And isn't it great? He's chosen us to demonstrate such an incredible thing to make it that visible. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, always that the revelation of the kingdom of God would be ours tonight and the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is all Christology. This is all the nature of Jesus. It's all him. Lord, let your work be done in us. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. How about just giving the Lord a hand for me? All right, great. Good. So you want to sit back down again? Yeah. I'm good. You can relax. Why don't you come sit right here? Sit. Or sit right up here. Sorry about that. No, it's good. So I'm probably going to see your wife tomorrow, but I just want to encourage you a little bit. You know, you. Okay. You know, I have no music skills, so I need worshipers, worship leaders, musicians. I need them. And I so love, and they love me because of the whole dimension of spirit and things like that. And so I love them. And so when I'm speaking over them or I'm watching them or I'm hearing them, there's most men, most women, they play an instrument. But very seldom are they the instrument. My brother, it is so beautiful with you. As soon as I saw you, it is amazing to me that the Lord is building an instrument, not just a man who plays one. And right now, he's redoing some of the strings in the stringed instrument. He's changing some of them because they've been tattered and worn and tired. And I have to ask my friends who play the guitar, I said, why do you keep adjusting the sound? Because it gets out of, I don't know, he goes out of whack. I guess that's good to talk to me like that, use that language. But he says, because it gets out of tune, Jay. And I said, well, it sounded great to me. Oh, no, this is wrong. This is not an E, or I don't know what he's saying. But I know this, though, that as he's doing it, the sound is sharpening. And it's amazing to me the Lord is in this very moment of resetting the strings and causing some to be tightened, some to be loosened. He's even replacing some of them so that he lays his hand across your life and there's a sound that vibrates out of you that causes people to know him. He's shining the brass where the sound of the trumpet that was always birthed in you, always born in you. He'll sound that trumpet. He's sharpening the brass and he's causing the wind to be able to move through. And he's releasing some of the things that clog, the water and the spittle, things that bring in, that come into our life that cause just the air not to pass through and that cause there to be difficulty in that going through in the sax and the trumpet. He's doing all these things. You've got to know this, that our God is so amped about you. He's so stoked about you. He's so passionate and loving about you. Even now, he's not speaking just to me with this, though, but the whole angelic beings, he's just making them aware as I'm saying this, that they hear this of how he feels about you because they understand the whole giving him glory and the whole idea of worship. And my young brother, the Lord has brought you this way to rebuild one of the trees that are in the mountains of Israel is the fir tree that's very key, that's only found in his presence, but it's what David built. Every instrument that was stringed instrument built it that way. And somehow with David, there's this understanding, no matter what he goes through, he knows the Lord will turn it into a song, into a praise. And everything you've been through and everything you walk through, the Lord will return that back up to him. All the ashes will be turned into beauty, and there will be the splendor of God that he will bring within you. It isn't about the stage. It never has been about the stage with you. It's been about the person. And sometimes people take an instrument. I've watched them, and like I go on to help, and they say, "Oh, don't touch that, Jay." Well, I'll help take the drums. Don't touch the drums, because they're precious. But some people don't handle the instrument as if it's precious. They just handle it the way they think they should handle it. And I want you to know the Lord is returning the preciousness. He's returning the tenderness. He's returning the tender heart. He's returning the young minstrel and the young psalmist back again. And though your hair may thin and you may get gray and your wrinkles may come, your latter years will be greater than you could have dreamed. You'll return to the writing. You'll return to the music writing. You'll return to the poetic nature that's within you. And you'll see God again reverberate his sound through your being, my friend. You have yet to know the depth of what God intends for you. My brother, God is beginning to work this redemption within the lives of your people, the lives of your personal family. Even tonight, God is at work bringing reconciliation to the ones that you love. You know, I've burned a lot of bridges with my family, and as some of them they burned, some of them I burned. And some bridges I said, I'll never build again. I'll never go that way again. And but the Lord has had to really touch me and speak to me to let me know that there can be no impossibilities. I love the idea that he's breaking off barriers, but he's also breaking the barriers like that where I can't go, I can't touch, I can't be, I won't be, I'm not going to be, I can't. And sometimes it's the emotion of it. It's the feeling. I can't believe some of my most vivid memories are all my bad times. I don't know why that happens. I don't remember a birthday, but I remember a guy stabbed me in the back. So I don't know how that works, but that's the way it is. But my friend, listen, the Lord is at work, working redemption within your life, healing you of words that have been said about the people who you thought should love you, the ones who sometimes we feel are required to love us, yet they said things and spoke some things that are sharp, piercing. They weren't arrows. They were dull blades that were simply forced through. That's how the words were. But I want you to know, my friend, that the Lord has begun. You can trust him, and you will see him bring salvation to your people. You'll see him bring reconciliation and restoration to your people, and you'll see God be the God of all of them. This is a great day for you to walk with him and to trust him. This is a great day for you to be willing to forgive and be willing to release and let go. God will do the work. You won't have to build a thing. You'll watch him touch lives, and you'll get a phone call, and you won't believe the words on the other end. They'll be words of sorrow and tenderness, and they'll be words of joy and reconciliation and restoration. It's already begun. So we're about 1 minute after 7. Is that what you have on your phone? That thing's wrong. We're okay? All right, I just want to, just to be careful. You know, it's just very important for me. Yeah, what a great group of guys. So the Lord will begin, as we've already talked a little bit, to the heart and the passion. I mean, it's there. You got this young David spirit that's really being developed. And I love this, and I mentioned David up here because every Bible character is very particular, so I'm not going to choose one out of the wind or choose one out of anywhere. It's a specific thing for me so that you understand that. It's saying something out of his life that's very, very important. And it is the process that is key with David. His heart was always right. He always had a passion for God. He stood out among his brethren. He was a fearless young man, as we know his history. But the greater thing was the time frame in which God would bring him in. It was key. So be patient as the Lord brings you into the ultimate intention. Be patient. Even when he's 30, he's made king, but he's not made king till he's 36 over the entire nation of Israel. So even then, he was king, but not king. And so there's these dimensions with him. And that's why we had that Bible history, so that I could relate to them and so I could walk through these things as the process of God is in. The Lord is able to quicken up things. He can make most things in a day, but he'll never make a man in a day. He just won't do it. Even though he breathed into dirt and Adam was formed, a spiritual man will never be made the same way. And so God is assuring you that he's building a spiritual man, so you won't have to struggle and fight. You don't have to worry, well, is that man for me? Is that man against me? Am I supposed to be there? You won't have to worry. Even what you've already been through in regards to spiritual authority, even that the Lord will work out what's necessary out of those moments. Even out of those moments, He'll work out what's necessary. Only you know what that is. Only I know what that is. But God, even there, doesn't make anyone right. It was an issue of right or wrong. The Lord was going to build in His Son that which was necessary, that the young man would be a stallion for the kingdom of God, that the Lord could bid him, bid his mouth, and he could be led by the Spirit of the living God. And at the Lord's commands, he would run. And at the Lord's commands, he would stop. And at the Lord's commands, he would stay still. And at the Lord's command, he would enter a race and come out of a race. At the command of the Lord, he would work. And my brother, that's exactly what the Lord's doing. He's building a stallion, not a plow horse necessarily, though sometimes you'll plow. He's building not one that'll just be a particular one, but this is the stallion, is the runner, the leader, the one who will stand ahead. But it's a time frame. So be patient with the Lord. Rejoice in the building activity of God. You're going to know what the wheel of God is like. You're going to understand the vine dresser. You're going to understand the sickler of the wheat and the cleanser of the temple. These are all administrations of the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ went through. He walked through them. You're going to know those things so that you'll understand the way of God. You'll understand the activity of God. All those things that are necessary for your life and the kingdom of God as it's demonstrated through you in your lifetime. Beautiful. Yeah, I like that. So my young friend over here at the end with the tie and the nice beard. I can't grow this section here, but I can grow this one. Ha ha. Yeah. So, dude, I don't know you, but I think you were supposed to meet me at the door. Or we might know each other. I know you introduced yourself to me. But I want you to know, my brother, that a kind of a missing thing is in our world, and it's called apprenticeship. We don't really see much of that. We don't ever see a shoemaker having an apprentice with him or a carpenter having an apprentice. You don't see it much anymore. I go to school and then I enter into my trade. It's a different thing. But in the kingdom of God, there's always this apprenticeship. There's always this preparation. There's always this one working. Elisha had Elijah. Even the young Samuel had Eli, as difficult as it was then. There's always that person. There's always the mentor that the Lord brings in. And my young friend, the Lord has brought you into this church to be mentored, to be an apprentice, not only to the pastors, not only to the leadership, but to the church as a whole. And without you realizing it, it's going to be almost like you're invisible. And all of a sudden, the Lord is going to bring you out in a day. And they're going to say, who is that young man? And it's here that God is raising you up. Sure, you choose your work, choose the education. I would speak with him on what you're going to do. But you've been set in this house as really a beginning thing that the Lord will continue to do, of young men and young women being apprenticed here, working out there, living out there, but being apprenticed here. Run here, run there, get this, run that. I thought during those years, my pastor just needs a slave. That's why I'm here, to do that, because there's nobody else. And then at the Bible school, I said, well, the only reason I have chores is because they don't want to hire anybody. That's what I was thinking. And the Lord was up there going, he doesn't get it at all, does he? Well, he didn't. I realized that wasn't slavery. That was apprenticeship. That was the Lord building in me something that only he could build. And that's exactly what's happening. So don't get frustrated. Don't measure. Well, he does this. She gets that. That one gets a pat on the back. And I don't see. Don't go there. Don't do that. Just keep your eyes on the one cubit square, on him. Look unto him. Consider him. Let him be the evaluation of everything. That's who he's translating you into. That's who he's turning you into. That's who he's changing you into, is this person that we love. And my young friend, you will become a skilled man in the kingdom, a man in many ways we don't see now, very much like a Nehemiah, very much like an Ezra, a kind of a young man that is able to come alongside and help establish order, help build the house of God, help build the nature of God within the people of God, help with the natural building and the spiritual building. Very rare. Some men could, I only do roofs, I only do walls, I only set windows. Well, unfortunately, that's not going to be you. You're going to set the windows, set the walls, set the roof, set the flooring. You're just going to know the house. And there's a beautiful thing that the New Testament always talks about, how Moses was faithful in his house and Jesus is faithful as head of his house. He sees it as a house. He sees the builders and the workers and the architects as those spiritual guys that are given to the people of God to serve them, that he might work his wholeness. And my young friend, that's the beginning of what the Lord is doing. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, the Lord, he doesn't sleep, you know. Yeah, so he enjoys doing it. You know, so I wasn't sure if I'd wait till tomorrow, but I don't know. Tomorrow could be a little tighter in time, so I'm just going to do this now. The placement has been so right. I would just have you next to me just because of the sheer size. And I'm glad I wore long sleeves tonight because you were going to be here with those short sleeves on. You know, beside all that jealousy, I'm doing okay with you. No, I'm just teasing. But it really is, you know, I'm as I'm standing here, I'm just going back in your time to when you were a young man, even before your birth. It was really on dad's side, dad's mom, dad's grandmother, on your mother's side, your mom's grandmother and your mom's great-grandmother. There was a kingdom back there. And their cry and prayer was that God would do something great. They were not afraid of it. Both sides of your parents' family, they were not afraid to ask for greatness. They knew that servants were great. That's how they were. And the amazing thing is they both had very harsh lives, especially your dad's great-grandmother, your grandmother. They were hard lives, just had hard lives with difficulty and so many things, but their hearts cried out to God, and his ears were open to both of them. Incredible. And my brother, this prayer is followed on. Even when you were a young man, they would speak over you, and they would say things over you. And your family, they would say things. Didn't have to be over you. They just declared them. And the Lord has come full circle to begin to bring those prayers to pass. This is just the beginning of this placement within this church and this community. Because God is building and has been working on a strong man. You're not a man without wounds. You're not a man without scars. You've had your share of them. Some of them are self-inflicting. Some of them have been inflicted by other people. But you came through victorious. It isn't just the size. It's a spiritual man the Lord was building. Even your natural body will not be able to contain, in a sense, that what God builds in spirit. Spirit has no limitation. So the building of God isn't limited to my frame. It's limited to my willingness for the Lord to build it. And my brother, since the day you walked in here, there's been a new sense of the Lord building. There's been a new sense of a willingness for the Lord to build. And so he's reached back to bring those to pass, that not only salvation would come to your people groups, both sides, and as distant as they are, as far back and as forward as they are, in their separation, their divide, that salvation would come to all of them, and not just salvation, but that the will of God would be worked within to your people, and that God would use them as the instruments of those that would be sicklers, plowers, menders of fences. And you've come from a people that were meant to be restorers and recoverers of the sight of the blind, the lame, and the halt. It could be in a physical way, but it's going to be more in a spiritual way. Some of them will be nurses. They'll work counselors. They'll work in prisons because they'll feel the need to be involved in the lives of people. But the intent of God is to build a people that'll see the restoration of lives of generations that have been desolated by so many things in the natural life and the way they've been cared for and the damaging that people do to other people. The things that I'm saying, I don't want to even say because they're just that. But your people are built that way. And you really are the beginning of what God intends to do. And your choice is to say yes to him. Your choice is to walk with him. You don't realize to the extent of what it has done to your entire family. As one man was willing to do what God asked him to do, changed his family and the world forever. That's exactly what's taking place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand with me, my friends. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so patient with me. I mean, even us being here tonight, there's some guys that I know, a couple guys that couldn't be here, they had family things. That's understandable. I should never feel bad about it. But even the small things that we choose, to get up maybe early and spend 5 minutes with him, hit a small group. You know, I'm not promoting this. I'm promoting this thing he's building. The church has provided the, if you will, the timber, the nails, the pitch. That's why he worked on him and with me, to the guys who are close to me. Listen, spend time with him. These are the things you need to do. They go, you're just being bossy, Jay. No. I'm just presenting opportunity. Man, I don't want to miss one. I know there's a Super Bowl coming. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to cheer probably for the team that I like, but it isn't about the Super Bowl, about the team. It's about what God is doing. But I can enjoy that like everybody else. Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray, as it was on Noah, that great grace will be upon my brothers. And that will transcend into our wives and our families. Even if we have separated families, let it transcend into them. There's no one, nowhere that you're not able to touch. On our behalf, I'm asking, touch our families in ways that only you can. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.